Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his
holy name. Hey,
amen.
Family.
Hallelujah.
Prophetess and Apostle, how you guys doing today?
We are amazing. How about you, honey? How are you?
Oh, it's another beautiful day in the Lord.
You're right.
Another beautiful day in the Lord. No, you know, they predicted snow, but we didn't get the snow, so it's a great day here in Western New York.
Yes. Yay, God. Yay, God. And you know, anytime Buffalo doesn't get snow and they predict snow, it is time to celebrate. Amen. 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 You know, today I have to say I did get a little bit before the Lord in between my nap. Amen. I had to take a nap, brother. I had to take a nap. But I was thinking along the lines of conflict resolution within marriage. And the reason why I was thinking that is I've actually had quite a few calls. And I hate to say that the calls and the emails are all, they're not all negative. Let me not say that. But they are dealing with real and what's going on within today's marriages. Mm-hmm. And one of the women of God who wrote in, she basically expressed, I don't know how to approach my husband. I don't know how to approach the situation without it becoming volatile. And, you know, as I was explaining to her that, you know, we'd be praying for her, we'd be believing God for her, I had this thing hit my heart that, you know, sometimes that is the hardest thing to do, is to open up a dialogue, a conversation. On this topic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for example, I'm using this as an example. I don't know if there's anybody's plight, just so you know, I'm not pulling nothing out the records. But, you know, I always think of a couple has a child, and they both have aspirations for that child. And child gets old enough, and one parent wants a child to go into the military. The other parent wants him to go into college. And that might even become a little bit of a heated subject, because each parent is very adamant about what they want, and they're not willing to bend. And so the first thing that came to me, the first word to conflict resolution, was compromise, to be mm-hmm. willing to meet each other in the middle. You know,
amen.
I think that we get ourselves in trouble when we dig our feet in the ground and become
mm-hmm.
stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
say, we're just not going to move. We're just not going to move. I'm not changing my mind. I'm not doing it, because if I do it, then he or she will think they can get away with it next time. So I'm going to make my stands here. Well, that's mm-hmm. not appropriate in marriage. It never works, by the way. It never works to produce a fruitful marriage. And,
mm-hmm.
and again, the word actually tells us to get along with our enemies. So how much more should we
come
be
on.
Trying to get along and be peacemakers in our own homes?
Come on. Come
so
on.
I would like my co-host to add on to that, amen. And we're going to just take it from there, amen. So Apostle, I'm going to give you the mic.
Awesome. And you're right. Sometimes it is difficult to get engaged in those conversations. But, you know, those conversations have to be had, simply because sometimes the doorway of peace is entered through the hallway of conflict,
ooh.
The hallway of disagreement, the hallway of war. You know, if we had never gone to war in our country, I'm going to speak on a global level here. If
mm-hmm.
we had never had our military go to war for the freedoms that we endure, who knows what our country may be like
mm-hmm.
right now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But in order for us to enjoy those freedoms, our military had to step up and go to war so we can enjoy those freedoms. The same way in a marriage. Marriage is two people trying to come together, become one. It's that process of becoming one. And like you said, when we draw a line in the sand, there's no progress in that. But when we can both sit down, and what we have to do is allow one another to express ourselves truly
yeah.
and honestly, and then come together to try to come up with a resolution that's going to be you know, appropriate for both parties, not leaving one, not wanting one to feel any less than the other.
Exactly.
So there has to be a mutual agreement that has to be reached.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Now, Mother, you have anything to add?
Yes, most definitely. I'm thinking of it like when I first started out in my marriage, it was either my way or the highway. But the Lord had worked some things out in me. And one day he spoke to my heart and said, do you want it your way or do you want it my way?
Amen.
So I had to let God do some pruning, some cutting in my life in order to let me know what's really important in my marriage, which is how my husband feels and what he thinks is as equally important as what I think and what I feel.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, so we know that sometimes when these conflicts arise, we don't always handle them the best. We do have an understanding that sometimes our flesh gets mixed up in there. The word tells us that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, right?
Yes.
When conflict happens and we end up sinning against one another, hurting one another, demoralizing one another, tearing down one another, because it happens, this is marriage.
Mm-hmm.
How do we heal that in a way that we don't continually have to go over it and over it and over it, but at the same time we make sure that that wound is healed completely and we learn from those mistakes? Because when I began to think about it, I went to James chapter 5, verse 16. It says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that I really processed that and I really began to think about, first of all, you have to confess it as sin to one another. So I believe that you have to go back and make right what's wrong. In your marriage.
Absolutely.
You know, I think a lot of times when conflict happens, you have individuals in the marriage that just want to roll over it. Like, okay, well, it happened, and so what? Let's just get past it. Why do we have to keep talking about it? Well, because you hurt that person. You have offended your brother or your sister, you know? And so, but the one thing that I thought was interesting, in the scripture, it gave us a formula or a strategy to heal. It says to pray for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that prayer, praying for one another, you know, looking each other in the face, grabbing each other's hands, bowing your head before God, and just saying, Lord, we're fragile, we're broken, you know, we're human. And guess what? I don't know. I haven't walked this road before. I just didn't know how to handle it, Lord. But I'm asking you in front of my spouse, for your forgiveness. I'm asking for my spouse's forgiveness, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how much healing, I mean, how quickly can the Holy Spirit come in and just heal that wound so the enemy doesn't have time to infect that wound?
Mm-hmm.
So the enemy doesn't have time to come in and bring festering sores to that wound. And then the rest of the scripture says the prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective. So I believe that I'm a family that prays together stays together. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that prayer is one of the strategies and the keys that, that heaven has given us as a husband and as a wife to bring in healing. Bring in healing from things. Maybe you got things you brought into the marriage. Come on now, we have to go deep.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for those of us who have been in marriages before. So you brought in hurt, you brought in pain, you brought in disappointment. Those things have to be healed. You need a finality to those things so they're not creeping behind you for the rest of your life. And I believe that a prayer of love between a husband and a wife is so powerful. Mother, I believe it. I believe it is so powerful that it
yes.
can heal every broken heart, every heavy burden.
Yes, ma'am.
And
yes.
so we're going to talk about that a little bit. So we have conflict. We're talking about conflict in marriage and conflict resolution. And then the word in James 5 and 16 gives us that strategy for everything. We just have to seek God on the strategy. So the Lord led me to James 5 and 16 and said, look, I told them, if they pray for each other, that will heal them. So I believe that there is power in the prayer between a husband and wife. Amen. And I believe that conflict cannot stay where the purity of love in prayer resides.
Amen.
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 Amen. So does anyone want to add to that?
Yeah, absolutely. Also, you know, when you pray with your spouse, it opens up, it brings about an air of transparency,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and when that mm-hmm. prayer is, and also when you pray with your spouse, the Lord says, when two agree touching anything on earth when they pray, it shall be done of them by my Father in heaven.
Yeah.
So you add the prayer of agreement to with the righteousness, the prayer of righteousness that availeth much and has great power in its working. Is dynamic in its working. You're talking about a prayer that moves the hand that created everything seen and unseen.
God.
So we're not just we're not just talking about a prayer with a husband and a wife. We're involving Almighty God Himself in the situation,
yes.
who is powerful enough to turn any situation around, to turn any stone upside down. God can do what we can't do within ourselves.
Yeah.
That's what that prayer does. It involves God. It brings God in, gives Him permission to come in and heal the brokenhearted. This Isaiah 61 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me and qualified me to preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek, poor, and afflicted, to bind up and heal the brokenhearted,
to set
at liberty the physical and spiritual captives, and the opening of the prison and of the eyes to those who are bound.
Mm-hmm.
So that prayer of agreement, brings in the Spirit of God, who is the power of God, the resurrection life of God, here on earth given to us to be manifested, to manifest the glory of God on earth as it is in heaven. So when you're talking about that prayer between a husband and a wife, a marriage that has been ordained by God, but what God ordains, He's obligated to maintain.
Yes, my God, yes, Apostle, yes. And you know what, family, listen to this, y'all. When a husband and wife set aside time to pray, the enemy has no room there.
Amen.
Because the love of God so saturates both of your hearts. It saturates the room that you're in. Enemy has to flee. He has no other choice in the matter.
Yes.
Mm. My God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
And so another recipe for great marriage that the Lord gave me to this week. And I know Apostle can expound. I love getting the scripture and letting the Apostle can expound. Kenny, man, God.
Yes,
preach
it.
Go ahead, preach it. Okay. So in Colossians 3 and 9, it says, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image to, you know, a lot of times the enemy will try to convince you that, you know, just don't tell her, just don't tell him, you know, as long as, you know, what they say, what they don't know won't hurt them. But in the interim, that lie, we're not going to call it anything, but when you begin to practice those things in your marriage, it brings in wounds. It mm-hmm. brings in festering sores. It puts mm-hmm. bones in your closet, whatever you want to call it. And then all of a sudden you're wondering why things start crumbling and tumbling. And you have built your life, you know, 30 years later, half of your life has been built on one lie after another. Right? And mm-hmm. so the Lord is speaking to some things. A lot of times you are having conflict, and you don't even know why you're having conflict, and the Lord is trying to allow you to bring those things out that need to be brought out.
Mm-hmm.
And you continue to hide.
Amen.
You continue to lie. You continue to find your way through it, and you actually lie to yourself and say you're doing it for someone else, and it's really your selfishness that is mm-hmm. causing you to be that liar. You know? So that being said, Mother, we're going to talk about that a little bit because especially young people in marriage, they're not used to having to give accountability to another person. They're not used to having to even answer for their, you know, they don't have anybody in their life that's calling them to task about maybe some of the things that they're doing. And then they get married, and you got somebody who's right there to see all of your stuff. And now you're feeling a type of way. You're feeling cornered. You're feeling, you know, so instead of dealing with it, you know, I'll just lie my way through it. So versus changing that behavior or making that behavior better, you know. This is not just, you know, I'm not targeting young men when I say this, but a lot of times, young people and young men, you know, they get married because this is what everybody told me I needed to do. And on top of that, I want somebody to be there with me, okay? But they don't realize now you're married, oh, maybe you can't go to that football game every other day with your friends. And maybe, you know, you do need to be working that 9-to-5 job versus working every once in a while hoping things will be okay. You know, responsibility hits and things like that. And so all of this pressure, and guess what? The enemy gives them a great way out of the pressure. I'll just lie my way through. So we're going to talk about that just a little bit because I believe that lies have a way of tearing a marriage and a family apart in a way that is so devious because most of it is done in secret. And I want your marriage to win. So I want everything that the enemy is trying to keep in the dark in your life. I decree and declare right now that the light of God will shine on
Hallelujah.
Every area of darkness
Hallelujah.
In your marriage and in your life.
Hallelujah.
That there will be
Hallelujah.
No
Hallelujah.
More hidden
Hallelujah.
Areas. From
you, thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name. Okay, Apostle.
You know, I want to summarize what you just said in a nutshell. Broken trust is a hard thing to get back. When someone has trusted you and they realize they can't trust you any longer. It's hard to get back trust. It's hard to get back. Thank you, Lord. What you're doing when you lie and you steal and you cheat, you're giving away the honor that the Lord has bestowed upon you. You're giving away the honor that the Lord Himself bestowed upon you as an individual. And as a husband, a father, a brother, a mother, a sister, a wife, you're giving that away.
Mm-hmm.
You're violating the covenant that you made when you got married.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one thing people need to understand before they get married is marriage is forever.
Yes.
And part of the marriage vows is forsaking all other. Mm-hmm. You can't get married and have a boyfriend or a girlfriend on the
come
side.
Come on now.
That's not the way God intended.
Come on now.
You can't get married and have children with somebody else. That's not the way God intended marriage to be. You can't mm-hmm. get married and live in separate households. That's
come
not
on.
The way God intended marriage to be.
Come on.
And God certainly didn't intend marriage to be a man and a man and a mm-hmm. woman and a woman or a man and an animal, a woman and an animal. That's
come
not
on now.
What God intended marriage to be. God intended marriage to be one man with one woman, holy matrimony, ordained by him to be an example for him in this earth realm.
My goodness. My goodness.
Amen, mother.
You are so right. I had a conversation with someone actually last week, and they began to tell me that they've been married to their husband for like 5 years, and they begin to tell me how during the course of their marriage that they had begun to confide into another man and have, you know, conversations about her husband with another man. And I had to rebuke that young woman, and I told her, I said, don't you ever, what can another man tell you about your husband? Absolutely nothing. No one knows your husband better than you do. And when you begin to confide in another man about your husband, it is a recipe for disaster. So let's keep our relationship with our spouses sacred by not pulling into things that does not supposed to be there, which is another woman or another man in the relationship. The relationship is about one husband and one wife. Let's just keep it that way.
Amen. Amen. So we have a recipe. One, we will pray for one another. Two, confess our sins one to another, but the Lord can bring healing, and then you start over. You're able to start over on a new page, amen? You're able to start over on a fresh slate, and this time include the King of Kings so that you can do it right, amen?
Amen.
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 Amen. So quickly, and I really do mean quickly because we're almost off of here, I'm going to ask my co-laborers to give a quick word of encouragement, and then we're out of here.
When in the area of marriage and in any area of your life, just let God lead and guide you, because he's never failed and he never will. As long as we trust his instruction and his guidance, everything will be all right.
Amen.
Amen, mother.
And husband and wives, just love on each other. Be gentle with each other and be kind with each other. Amen.
Mother.
Amen. Amen. Just be gentle with each other, be kind with each other, and love on each other.
Amen. Amen. And for myself, I want to give you a love dare. And so this week, I'm asking you, I'm daring you to love on your mate to the point where they have to say, okay, enough is enough. And that is not just physical for my men of God that are out there. That is not just physical. You know, you might want to just, you know, iron his shirt for him or rub her feet for her. It's not just physical, okay? And I think a lot of times when we do the love dares, it's always my men of God that are like, oh, okay, yeah. And I'm like, okay, it has to come outside the bedroom. Love you guys, but it has to be outside the bedroom. Praise God. So just take some time to love. Okay. You know, take this week, take some time, even if you have to write something out, you know, do something deliberately every day to show your mate that you love them. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
So that is our love dare. And if you guys have any, if you don't know what to do, write to us. We'll give you some suggestions, you know. But this is the beginning of the saints of God in your life and in your marriage. So we decree restoration and renewal over your marriage and over your life. And we thank God for each and every one of you who are tuning in each and every week. If you need us in between these broadcasts, please email us at propheticwindministries@yahoo.com. You can reach us at propheticwindministries.com. And you can also reach us on Facebook at facebook.com/propheticwindministries. Amen. And I thank God for each and every one of you. We will see you next week. Amen. Let me make sure. Yes. Okay. Yes, we will see you next week at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for our broadcast of Marriage on Fire. We love you, and we give God praise for you, and we look forward to hearing about your awesome testimonies. And there is a testimonial page on our website, so if you just want to share your testimony, that will be awesome. And that'd be awesome just for encouragement for us that we keep going. For the things of God. Amen. So God bless you. We love you, and we'll see you next week.